We wake to notifications before consciousness fully arrives. The first swipe, the first scroll, news has colonized the sacred morning hour, once reserved for prayer or silence. Without realizing it, we've replaced one form of devotion with another. News now occupies the cultural throne once held by religion, complete with its own rituals, canonical hours, and unquestioned authority over our attention. Yet unlike traditional faiths that came with instruction manuals for spiritual hygiene, our new religion offers no guidance on consumption limits or interpretive frameworks. We're left drowning in information while starving for wisdom, perpetually informed yet increasingly confused about what actually matters. Here's the uncomfortable truth. You can read every political headline for a year and still understand less about governance than your grandparents who read one newspaper weekly. Modern political coverage creates a peculiar paradox. We're simultaneously overwhelmed with information, yet comprehend less than ever. When a headline announces Senate passes budget reconciliation bill, most eyes glaze over, missing how this abstraction connects to hospital wait times, mortgage rates, or that pothole-filled street on your commute. Dictators no longer need to ban news. They need only ensure it arrives fragmented, decontextualized, and buried under celebrity scandals. We scan headlines about cabinet reshuffles without grasping their significance. Healthcare legislation remains abstract until we're facing insurance denials. The media's failure to draw these connections leaves voters alienated from decisions shaping their existence. The solution isn't forcing people to consume serious news, but reimagining how we present it. What if welfare reform stories carried the narrative drive of celebrity gossip? Follow a family navigating the system instead of dry statistics. Explain trade agreements through local businesses adapting to new rules. The most important stories deserve our best storytelling techniques. When news fails to harness curiosity, society becomes dangerously unable to address its own dilemmas. News media has discovered what casino owners have long known: anxiety is profitable. Fear and outrage drive engagement, so we're perpetually warned about threats from novel viruses to hidden dangers in office furniture. This exploits our weak grasp of historical perspective, our inability to recognize that few things are truly unprecedented. The 1918 Spanish flu, the Great Depression, and the Cold War all seemed apocalyptic in their time, yet humanity endured. Our capacity for calm depends on managing expectations, accepting that disappointments are normal and meaningful change occurs incrementally. But commercial incentives keep us perpetually agitated. When not frightening us with disasters, news enrages us with corruption and incompetence. Beneath this rage lies something touching but naive: the belief that world problems are readily solvable if only we weren't ruled by crooks and idiots. News tantalizes with promises of transformation, then inevitably delivers delays and compromises. Our anger often stems from hope, the belief that the world could be better. Rather than eliminating anger, news should help us direct it toward achievable changes. Where that's impossible, it should help us process the gap between our capacity to imagine perfection and our limited ability to secure it. We need reporting that distinguishes between issues requiring urgent action and those requiring acceptance or gradual reform. Journalism's greatest triumphs often involve exposing powerful figures, with Watergate serving as the profession's North Star. This accountability model has produced remarkable results, from uncovering political corruption to exposing corporate malfeasance at companies like Enron. Yet many significant societal difficulties lack identifiable villains. Problems like unaffordable housing, unfulfilling jobs, and wasteful consumerism arise from complex interactions between policy, culture, and economics that resist simple narratives. True investigative journalism should examine all factors sabotaging human flourishing: mental health, architecture, family structures, education, not just criminal behavior. Instead, news often substitutes meaningful investigation with gaffe journalism, seizing on momentary lapses by powerful figures: a misstatement, an awkward photo, a poorly worded tweet. journalism should see itself not merely as monitoring power, but as a government in exile working to build a better country. Rather than gleeful fault-finding, it should nurture competence by highlighting successful solutions, examining positive examples of community building, effective education, or sustainable development with the same rigor traditionally reserved for uncovering wrongdoing. Consumer news typically covers availability, cost, and quality, restaurant reviews, hotel evaluations, product comparisons. But this misses the deeper psychology of consumption. We don't merely want to own things. We seek psychological transformation through purchases. That sea bream at a restaurant represents values we wish to absorb: relaxation, dignity, simplicity. We book hotels hoping outer landscapes will rearrange inner ones. Rather than organizing consumer news under material categories like dining or travel, it should address our true psychological objectives: conviviality, calm, resilience. Material objects are subsidiaries of larger psychological goals, promises of future states of mind that can inspire, but not alone transform us. We live in an era of unprecedented cultural production. 30,000 films, 2 million books, 100,000 albums released annually. Cultural journalism serves as a crucial broker between art and audiences. Yet, to fulfill this role requires answering, what is art actually for? A therapeutic theory suggests art helps us handle psychological frailties, understanding ourselves, forgiving others, maintaining hope, preparing for death. Cultural journalists should therefore act as pharmacists, prescribing specific works for specific inner needs rather than merely attacking substandard works. Despite unprecedented access to culture, we struggle to find works that truly matter to us. The most valuable art connects with our inner needs at the right moment. Technology promises personalized news streams tailored to our interests. Yet this individualistic utopia has alarming aspects. Left to program our own news, we risk reinforcing pathologies and blind spots, filtering out distressing but necessary information in favor of comfortable confirmation. Freedom of choice complicates wise decisions. Good citizenship requires knowledge that isn't always appealing. Someone avoiding news of successful people to prevent envy might miss crucial insights. Personalization only works if users understand what they need, requiring extensive self-examination first. Ideal news would look different. Political coverage should illuminate complex social mechanics while helping us advocate for reform. World news should humanize foreign countries beyond crises. Economic reporting should investigate saner approaches to capitalism. Celebrity news should introduce admirable people and guide productive envy. Disaster coverage should remind us of our moral fragility rather than encouraging self-righteousness. Even with these ideals realized, caution remains essential. Our evolutionary tendency to equate novelty with importance misleads us. The relentless pace of modern news overwhelms independent thought. We must protect time for introspection, seeking moments without connectivity to nurture our own ideas. Balance contemporary information with timeless wisdom found in history and nature. In a world measuring worth in clicks, we've forgotten that attention is finite and sacred. Your mind isn't a vessel to be filled with every breaking story. It's a garden requiring careful cultivation. The news may be our modern religion, but like any faith, it requires thoughtful practice rather than blind devotion. Disconnect not to escape reality, but to honor it more fully. Read less, understand more. A flourishing life isn't measured by news consumed, but by wisdom cultivated in the spaces between headlines.